This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Phil. But in the meantime, it's my way or the highway, or in the government's case, this is the same thing. According to the Works Minister, Datuk Sri Fadila Yusof, the government has approved proposals from the private sector for the construction of three new highways in Klang Valley to help ease traffic congestion, namely the Petaling Jaya Dispersal Link, the Bangi Putrajaya Expressway, and the KL Kuala Lumpur Northern Dispersal Expressway, which has been acronymized into KL Node.
Right. However, Fadila said there was no guarantee that these new highways would alleviate the traffic congestion due to the increasing number of vehicles on the road. He adds that the government will continue to invest in public transportation such as the MRT and LRT to ensure alternatives are available to the people. Now, this sudden announcement came as a surprise to many, and opposition members such as former Deputy Meeting Minister Ong Kian Ming and Bukit Gasing Assemblyman Rajiv Wishakaran are urging the government to provide more details.
Are highways a solution to our congestion issues? And what are the concerns that should be raised at the sudden announcement of highway approvals in the city? For more on this, we have on the line with us Rosli Azat, transport consultant, to help shed some light on this issue and weigh in. Rosli, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. So we know that the minister has given this announcement that three highways have been approved. Let's start with the rationale for this, which is to help ease congestion. Are highways a solution to such a problem?
I think it's very basic in the sense that you don't build highways to alleviate congestion, for sure. You know, nobody in the world do that. You build highways for the purpose of a bypass or as a ring road, yes. But you don't build highway to alleviate congestion. I mean, you know, you can't accept that as a reason, because highway by its very nature attract traffic.
Right, and the lack of details in approving these highway approvals have triggered many questions. So what are your main concerns regarding these highways?
Okay, if they are looking at Klang Valley as a whole, they need to have some kind of master plan. What is it that they are building in the Klang Valley? They need to have, you know, estimate on the population, estimate on the journey trips, estimate on the facilities that they want to have for the Klang Valley. Where are the schools? Where are the health services? Where are the employment centers? Where are the shopping malls and all that and so on? So it has to go into a proper master plan. And then from there, having known the number of trips that each section of the population are making on a daily basis, then you decide, okay, what will be the percentage of the trips that are supposed to be made by cars? What's the percentage to be made by taxis, buses? Other means of public transport like LRT or MRT, mass transit, you know. So you need to have all that components built into your master plan. And then you follow the master plan strictly for the next, you know, 30, 50 years. So that's how majority of the cities in the world plan themselves. But we don't seem to have that. We are lacking in terms of planning. The decisions are made on ad hoc basis. The other issue is KL is often flooded. What are their take on this one? I mean, why build highways when the urgent problems that are facing people in KL are actually flooding? So are they not going to tackle that issue first?
Rosli, in your opinion, are there any justifications for building more highways in the Klang Valley?
I'm sure a lot of people can see the justification, because when the minister spoke about it, he said things like, oh, we hope these highways will solve traffic congestion. I mean, we cannot plan on the basis of hope. Surely not. That's very not acceptable in terms of planning for infrastructure. But the other thing is, the minister seems to be accepting private sector proposals for the planning of the whole city, the entire city or the Klang Valley. So why do we leave the planning aspect of a massive area, very important area such as Klang Valley, to the private sector who has companies who have got interest in collecting toll? If we do that, that means those companies, private sector companies, we only be interested to build highways in high demand corridors, places where they forecast that there'll be huge volume of traffic to be channeled to their highways so that they could collect toll and justify the cost of building those highways in the first place. To me and to many other planners, I think this is not the way to plan for infrastructure. The authority, the government, should have all these components for them to plan it out. And then if they say that, oh, for this particular alignment, we do not have the budget to build it, so therefore we invite private sector companies to build it for us. So it has to be on the basis of an open tender or something similar, not to accept a proposal.
Does the congestion issue have anything to do with the poor design or planning of our roads in the city?
The entire alignment is not comprehensive enough because they are looking at specific area or specific zone to attract or to direct certain volume of traffic onto the highways on the basis that or on the belief that by providing such highway, the traffic speed will increase. So people will be attracted to use the highways in order to gain speed or journey time. But that is a false assumption because those who do not want to use the highway and pay toll, they will look for other roads to avoid paying toll. So other roads, as a result of building that particular highway or that particular alignment, other adjacent roads which serve the residential areas and so on become congested.
Rosli, one seemingly obvious solution to congestion issues is public transportation. But this has problems of its own, ranging from the lack of last-mile connectivity to the facilities themselves. So how do you think the government should approach this?
Yeah, it goes back to what I've said earlier. The government has not planned all these facilities in a very comprehensive way, in the sense that when you build LRT or MRT, you need to understand the behavioral pattern of the travelers. If you are planning these facilities for people to go to work in the city center, then you need to know where do these people live? How do they get to the nearest station? Once they reach the city center, how do they get to their places of work? Or how do they get to the shopping malls, and if they are working in the shopping malls and so on? So the government should provide, when they build MRT or LRT, they need to know also what will be the first mile and the last mile that these people have to go through. And these facilities have not been provided when they build all this mega, mass transit at a cost of billions and billions. You know, you have this beautiful MRT serving Sungai Buloh to all the way to Kajang, but you don't provide the facilities for people to connect with all the stations and so on. You expect that people will drive to the station and leave their car. Where do they leave the car? What will be the cost to leaving your car there? What will be the parking charges? You know, and what happened when you get to the other side? So what do you do? So all these issues and problems have not been addressed. So how do you expect the people to use the public transport and leave their car behind, you know, and use public transport instead?
So what's the solution then?
They have to look into these problems. They have to look at how people travel, how to make it easier for people to get to all the stations and so on. At the moment, they are only providing car parks. They expect people to drive to the station, leave their car behind and jump onto the MRT or LRT. But, you know, it happens in some places, but you are not getting the volume because, you see, this is the issue between car ownership and car usage. Car ownership in this country is very high. Therefore, most people who own cars, they will make this decision that, oh, taking public transport is so difficult, it's costly, I have to pay a lot of parking charges. So instead of paying parking charges at the station, best that I drive into the city and pay parking charges in the city. Because it made no difference to my saving. In fact, I save more time driving my own car rather than to park the car at the station and walk all the way and so on and then pay another cost to get to the city. So these are the issues that have not been looked into and has not been resolved despite us having LRT for more than 25 years.
It seems like the government is trying to do this two-pronged approach where they try to encourage Klang Valley residents to use more public transport, but also give people options rather than arbitrarily pushing them in one direction. Do you think this is the right strategy going forward?
Okay, it's good to have two-pronged strategies, but we have to look at what have been done in other cities. In other cities, you can own cars. The government will not stop you from owning cars. But what the government is stopping you is that you cannot take your car everywhere that you want to go. Because if you are making daily trip to the city center to go for work, Now, you take your car, it's a single occupancy vehicle, into the city. And at the moment, driving into KL is free. You don't have to pay unless you take the toll. Once you reach the city, you find a parking space. Now, the government has to provide parking space. This is the issue with a lot of buildings in KL where the requirements for parking space have to be fulfilled by the developers. And then having done that, you know, you have to leave your car for 8-9 hours throughout the day. So your car is actually redundant, sitting in the basement of the building. And then later on, you take your car back and then you have to go through the traffic jam again. Is that the kind of facilities or services that we want everybody to go through on a daily basis? Surely not. So what do we do? If you are working in the city center, the incentive is for you to use the public transport. How do you devise the incentive? In places like London and other major cities and so on, you have to bear congestion charges. You are causing congestion to the roads, so therefore you have to bear the cost of that.
Rosli, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Rosli Azad, a transport consultant weighing in on the proposal to build more highways in the city to reduce congestion. He is firmly not in favour of that idea.
The frustration, I think, is the process. You know, firstly, you have to design the city to say, look, I think we need this kind of infrastructure to connect and it has to be all connected with the first mile, last mile. I think no issues with that. Even people will say, okay, if you design it and you project that that's required, you maybe need the highways. I think the frustration here is why are there private sector proposals that, you know, circumvent the planning process? Where what should have happened is I say, okay, I need to build this connection from point A to point B. I will do a tender and then the respective private sector concessions make the bid to do that. So it's basically the tail before the dog, I think. That, I think, is the fundamental concern many people have with this proposal.
That is a very good point, I feel, Phil. And it's not just for highways. I think this could also go for all the other transport infrastructure projects that have been announced, like the MRT, like the Circle Line that's being proposed. What kind of planning was actually put into these kinds of projects before it was tendered out or before private sector came involved?
Absolutely. Because you talk about MRT3 link, I wonder how these three highways supplement MRT3. Because MRT3 is the mega infrastructure project there. And for an example, PJ Link, this has been going on for a long time. Right. So this project and proposal has seen a lot of protests from residents across if you go around PJ. So where was the alignment between the public transport infrastructure versus these private highways? Where is the thought process to connect these two, public transport and highway concessioners, together?
Exactly. And on another note, it just feels like the city is always under some form of construction or another. Three highways being built, are they good? I mean, we don't know that there are very few details at this point about what actually this project entails, but I'm just seeing more years of construction across different parts of the city. That's not going to help congestion at all.
Exactly. I mean, there's no issue. There's another debate about the business case. There could be a business case for it, but I think the scrutiny here is the process.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.